These again are the two bill drafts that the committee decided to talk about regarding donor TID issues. Again, the 38/P1 is the one that removes barriers so that any TID, can, regardless of the kind of TID it is, may receive donated tax increments. And then the 39/P1 is the one that's dealing with how to treat special purpose districts such as the Lake Sanitary District and the Public Inland Lake and Protection and Rehabilitation Districts and the Town Sanitary Districts. I don't know if there are any questions or concerns about them.
I guess the first action I'd like to take is to ask for a motion to combine 38 and 39, just as we had done with the previous two bills we just combined. So if I could have a motion to combine these two bills.
I'll make that motion.
And do I have a second? We have a motion and a second to combine the bills. All in favor, or we want to do a roll on that? Well, we can do, we'll do a roll.
Senator Dix.
Aye.
Representative Lautenbeck.
Aye.
Senator Zhao. Representative Kuglich. Representative Onstad. Representative Zepnik. Ms. Andrews. Mr. Harrigan.
Aye.
Ms. Kelly. Mr. Gavari. Mr. Lincoln. Mr. Rasmussen.
Aye.
Mr. Roykel. Mr. Sirk. Mr. Slavish. Mr. Thillman.
Aye.
Mr. Wilson. Mr. Wartman.
Okay, thank you. That passes. So we'll take up the bill now as a whole bill. So looking for any discussion, anybody have any concerns as to any language, any unintended consequences, positives? Opening it up for you guys. Do you want to give a brief description? Did we do that already?
Yeah.
Any other comments or questions? There's almost, I had a good lunch. All right, I'm not seeing.
Summary, yeah, that summarizes it.
You want to go over it one more time?
Yeah. The first, well, the first 38/P1 is the one that allows any TID to receive tax donations. And the second one, it provides it for TIDs that are currently in existence. They can donate or receive donations regardless of whether or not the overlying taxing jurisdictions are the same. And for with respect to the special purpose districts. And any newly created TID, the bill draft excludes those special purpose districts from the tax increment financing process.
So it's actually just sticking to the big four when it comes to the game players in the TIDs themselves. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of concern about that in certain communities that have sanitary districts, lake associations, things of that nature. So, and they're really minute players when it comes to TID, but they could actually hold up an entire process for, or have to go through special hoops to include them in processes. So this bill actually would make them not effective in that process. Comments or questions? Okay, I'm seeing none. Go ahead.
This 39 doesn't exclude
Right, this bill doesn't address the Milwaukee issue. So you would like to amend the bill to exclude Milwaukee?
No, we want to amend it.
He wants confirmation that it only excludes Lake Sanitary Districts under Section 30.50, mm-hmm. sub 4Q, Public Inland Lake Protection Rehab Districts under Chapter 33, Town Sanitary Districts under Subchapter 9 of Chapter 60, Town Law.
So does that cover it?
Yeah.
There's a 5 in Milwaukee, you're correct. Yeah.
That was a...
Madison too.
I think that the way the definitions are worded, MMSD is not included as one of the special purpose districts, but I can double check and make sure that the cross-references are precise.
It
possibly could. I guess I don't have my statutes in front of me to verify that.
The problem here would be that there would be a significant diminution of
tax increment collections if those districts are excluded. And that would be an unforeseen problem. You don't want that.
I can double-check the cross-references and make sure that those definitions are narrowly tailored so that the larger districts like MMSD or the Dane County area.
Is that acceptable to everybody, or do we?
Okay.
All right. Knowing that we're going to be including those major districts. Any other discussion? Good catch, Representative Mr. Harrigan. Okay. So we're going to take roll on accepting this bill. So we're going to take roll, please. Oh, yeah, we need to have a motion. We have a motion to accept the bill as presented. So moved. Second?
Second.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any other comments, questions? Okay, we'll take roll.
Senator Goodix.
Aye.
Representative Lautenbeck.
Aye.
Senator Jow. Representative Krulwich.
Aye.
Representative Onstead. Representative Zepnik. Ms. Andrews. Mr. Harrigan.
Yes.
Ms. Kelly. Mr. Kovari. Mr. Lincoln. Mr. Rasmussen.
Aye.
Mr. Royko. Mr. Serf. Mr. Slavish. Mr. Thillman.
Aye.
Mr. Wilson. Mr. Wortman.
Okay, thank you. That passes. We are now on to 0041. Relating to the inclusion of vacant land within boundaries of a tax incremental district. So I'll have Ledge Council just give another brief overview of this, and I think there were maybe some questions on this one as well.
Yeah.
Right, this draft relates to the 25% test for vacant land. Current law specifies that land vacant for 7 years prior to creation of a TID may not comprise more than 25% of the area in a TID. Does not apply to, the restriction does not apply, however, to industrial TIDs or mixed-use TIDs. Also, current law defines vacant land to include property where fair market value of structural improvements is less than fair market value of the land, and also excludes certain properties in the Park East and Park West corridors in Milwaukee County, and property contaminated by environmental pollution. What the draft is currently drafted would do is specify that the vacant land test does not apply to districts created after the bill would take effect.
Mr. Harrigan, I believe you had some kind of an amendment or something you wanted to propose.
Yes, I would like to offer this for consideration of the committee, and that is the provision of the statute that currently requires that in the case of a municipally owned parcel that is not intended to be continued in use in perpetuity for municipal purposes, in other words, municipal owned land that they intend to have developed or redeveloped, there is a requirement that even though it's exempt today, that the assessor assign a value to it. And we are requesting that there be an amendment to not require that situation so that when that parcel is developed, the community will get the full benefit of the value that's coming onto it rather than some imputed value on the parcel.
Okay, I understand that. Any comments on the amendment? Go ahead.
Just clarifications. Can you give me examples? Is that like if there's a parcel that has a property on it, I mean a building on it that they're going to tear down, that currently they assess that at that value even though you're going to tear it down?
That's part of it, but what it also requires, Representative, is that if you got the land itself is currently exempt, and there's going to need to be, under the current law, a value assigned to the land, too.
Okay.
And so this would eliminate all that. And then anything that's built there, you'd get the benefit of 100% of the value as increment rather than having it be net of the imputed value that the assessor assigns.
And that's only for municipally owned buildings not intended to be used, not used.
Yeah, if they're going to continue in use for public purposes, obviously.
Right.
There's no current requirement that they be valued anyway.
Right. Any other comments or questions?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So the motion on the table right now is an amendment by Mr. Harrigan. I'm looking for a motion to move the amendment.
Moved.
Moved. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second. Do we have any comments or questions on the move? Okay, we'll take roll.
Senator Goodick.
Aye.
Representative Lombeck. Senator Chow. Representative Kuglich.
Aye.
Representative Onstead.
Aye.
Representative Zepnik. Ms. Andrews. Mr. Harrigan.
Aye.
Ms. Kelly. Mr. Kavari. Mr. Lincoln. Mr. Rasmussen.
Aye.
Mr. Roykel. Mr. Sirk. Mr. Slavish. Mr. Thillman.
Aye.
Mr. Wortman.
Okay, so we have before us right now, we have an amended 0041 for consideration. Does anybody have any questions on the bill itself as amended? Seeing none, we'll take roll. Oh, we need a motion to move. We have a second? We have a motion and a second. Questions? We'll take roll.
Senator Goodick.
Aye.
Representative Lombeck.
Aye.
Senator Jow. Representative Kuglich.
Aye.
Representative Onstead.
Aye.
Representative Zepnik. Ms. Andrews. Mr. Harrigan.
Yes.
Ms. Kelly. Mr. Kavari. Mr. Lincoln. Mr. Rasmussen.
Aye.
Mr. Roykel. Mr. Sirk. Mr. Slavish.
Aye.
Mr. Thillman.
Aye.
Mr. Wilson. Mr. Wortman.
Okay, thank you. We're on 0043. Relating to tax incremental financing project plan amendments and extending the life of the tax incremental district if the district is adversely impacted by statutory changes or changes to the equalized valuation method. Ledge Council, do you want to just give us a real brief overhaul or overview of this as well?
Sure. This bill, just to remind you, allows a municipality to amend its project plan or to extend its life. In the cases where it has been negatively impacted by statutory change or in the case of DOR, changing its valuation method. I think there was discussion about also including issues related to funding mechanisms, like the Tech College funding change.
Yeah. Does this, as it's written now, is that covered by this language? Maybe it's already covered.
I would have to double check, because right now the way I drafted it was the changes would have to be made to section 66.1105. And I'm guessing that the changes in the Tech College funding were not in that chapter. They were in someplace else. So I would have to amend it.
I think this would be a very helpful thing to the communities, but I think from the standpoint of the legislature wanting to cut down a little on workload, that there are communities that are going to be impacted by this change, and it could likely result in the need for some special consideration. If you make this adjustment, there would be a remedy for them within the law that I think that they could do a project plan amendment to get the Joint Review Board to approve.
Are there any other funding changes that you would want to include? Like if there's a change in a different type of a funding? I struggled with trying to figure out what policy changes we were really talking about, and I couldn't really come up with some language. That's why I narrowly tailored it to the equalization valuation method, which has obviously excludes a lot of other policies.
Hal?
Personal property at one of the upcoming legislation sessions, I mean, that would also impact TIF if that value goes away, too. So maybe you want to include that somehow in this. Or similar type of changes to law.
Sure. Did you have a comment? Same thing. Go ahead.
I'm a little concerned. I mean, I understand that the scenario with the tech colleges, but I don't want to give a big exclusion in here that could have an unintended consequence where any time, you know, revenue streams are impacted. I mean, you could make a connection to state policy that could have the result of triggering an expansion that would be not consistent with our intent.
I myself am getting a little wary with this conversation, just knowing how the legislature may react to something like this. So I just throw that out there. So are you making that, Mr. Harrigan, a formal amendment that we consider? How do you want to word that? How do you want to proceed?
Well, I'm not sure of what the technical correction should be, but the idea would be an amendment that would address the situation where there's the reduction in TIF revenues driven by Act 145, which is the technical college bill. Change.
Okay. So you're making that an amendment? Mr. Representative, go ahead.
And just to clarify that, you're speaking of the fact where part of the tech college's property tax or came off the property tax. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Lowered the property tax.
Yes.
Because I just know in our body that might be something that we want to do further, and that's reducing the tech colleges, you know, off the property taxes. So we should probably address it for the future as well as what's happened in Act 145. But how, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Or alternatively, you fix it separately by saying, you know, like if we're going to have a bill that takes the levy off the tech college rolls and puts it on in the general GPR, then at the time that you would do that, you would you would put some provisions in that would account for any reduction in the special funds affected. Right. Would have been, hindsight's 2020, but... Mm-hmm. I don't know if we can always be looking forward to any. I mean, it could really start snowballing.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
I know we had this conversation at our last meeting about the putting it in the bill when the bill is being drafted, when property taxes are being reduced, which is a good thing, or when personal property taxes are being reduced, that you put it in that bill, but there may not be the institutional memory to do it every time. So if there's one way that you could codify when there's a change in personal property or real property abatements or reductions, that TIF is going to go unharmed or held harmless, allow them to make the amendments to extend their lives or whatever it would take. Because my fear is, much like Mike's, that if come this spring, if we don't have some sort of remedy for all these thin tax increment districts, that 90-cent mill that comes in, you're going to be asking for a lot of special legislation once again to allow them to amend their plans to extend their lives. And this is, I think, a way to get around having all that special legislation.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, I understand for the need for us to do this. It's important. However, I'm a little leery as you are, and I know we want to kind of wrap up everything today, but can we maybe have Ledge Council look into this and kind of give us a better solution, if there is one,
Well, I think, you know, we're going to need a little bit in terms of two things. And one, you know, we're going to need instructions at the very least. Are we fixing is this like a one-time thing to reflect the changes to the tech college funding that have already happened? Do you want a item that addresses tech college funding in general? Do you want an item that talks about, and then this is where we get into defining how broad this is, you know, beyond that, are we talking about any, you know, phrasing any change in state policy or something like that? That's where we're going to end up if we're going very broad. I think those earlier suggestions we can draft. I would recommend that we procedurally, in terms of wrapping up, that we vote on a set of instructions, much like we've done with the amendments that we've considered so far. But I think some of these things, you know, if it's more discreet in terms of addressing previous action or perhaps tech college funding, you know, we could probably come up with some sort of language in that regard.
This is a tough one.
Another thing to keep in mind, too, is this bill draft allows, you know, essentially anytime something changes in state statute or the equalization value method, you know, they could change and amend their project plan or extend their life. But if we want to do something where we're fixing what happened in Act 2045, the effects of that, we could do something more that has like a I don't want to say sunset provision, but something that's capturing TIDs that were, you know, in a time frame so that it's not, you know, an indefinite ability to amend the project plan, but it's, you know, a more finite, narrowly tailored type of a policy fix.
Suggestions on that?
Might I add, any TIF created after pretty much January 1, 15 would not be affected by Act 145. So would we put language in there to allow all those created prior to that to make a project plan amendment if required due to Act 145?
So we voted, the legislature voted, to use general purpose revenue to replace the local tax levy at the tech colleges so that they received the same amount of money that they did before, correct? So why are we trying to correct this by extending the life of the TID? Why, the money is there. Why are the tech colleges not required to pass that down to the TID? They got the money. I mean, unless I'm not understanding it. I mean, because it's still, they were held harmless.
I can explain.
Okay, thank you.
Mechanically, the way this is going to work is that there's X number of dollars that each vocational district's going to get. Whatever that dollar amount is for per district is a dollar amount that had been previously levied as property tax. And so they're not no longer going to be levying that amount as a property tax because they're getting it from the state. And so when they file their levy for apportionment purposes to all the other taxing jurisdictions, and they put that levy out there, it's going to be that number, that lower number. That number goes into the tax increment calculation worksheet at a lower level than what they had in the prior year. And when you run it through the tax increment calculation worksheet, it has the effect of dropping the tax rate by, right now, approximately on average, about 89 cents a thousand. And so when you apply that reduced tax rate to all of the value of the property in the tax increment district, you get a significantly lower amount of tax increment than what you would have had before, just because of the mechanics of the way this thing works. The school districts, the vocational district gets the money. Mm-hmm. It's getting it from the state, mm-hmm. but not through property tax. And because the TIF is funded through a property tax vehicle, it's reduced over there on that side of the equation.
Right, but we're fixing that by allowing them, rather than fixing the equation, we're just allowing them to extend the life of the TIF.
Yes.
That's sort of, I'm just wondering if that's the right approach.
I mean, the only other, to make them whole immediately would mean coming up with an additional levy, and then you're back to where you didn't want to be as a legislature.
You know, the whole theory behind lowering taxes on the property taxes is that we spur development, spur growth, so one could assume, and it probably doesn't always happen, that there would be more economic development going on within those TIDs that could spur more increment as well. Thus offsetting the loss from the tax reduction. I think that this would be, and I'm just being honest again, I think this would be an uphill battle. I think it would kill the bill, to be honest with you. I don't know if it would. You kind of weigh that, you know, do you add this piece in and not have the bill, or do you have the bill as it is and leave off the other piece, or do you hope that it all goes through?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I look at this historically, to some extent, because you look back at what the legislature did do when you did a similar thing for school funding, back in like 86, 87. And there you went to, what is it, 66% funding, or whatever that formula, two-thirds funding? And and that had the same effect on tax increment districts, significantly reduced the taxes, and at that time, that's when you went, you allowed a longer period of time for recovery. So I see this pretty much being a very similar sort of situation. I think in the prior case, perhaps it had been recognized as part of the bill, and this time it just wasn't caught or thought about probably.
Well, I think, you know, I'm willing to roll the dice, knowing that in the end it could come out. But how do you word it right now? How broad do you want to go? You just want to reference Act 145, or as Representative Coolidge stated, we could be going further with this in the next session. How do you word it?
There's probably a cross-reference to a statute that could be used in Act 145 regarding, you know, how the funding is to be calculated. And so I could basically cross-reference another statute instead of cross-referencing the Act.
Well, if you think it's the narrower the better in terms of its chances of getting passed, then of course we'd want to use the narrower application. I mean, if you thought it would be possible to get consideration for a situation that could come up wherein, you know, the legislature should decide to put the entire amount for vocational funding on the state and drop that. And you could address that now, but it seems to me that, as Representative Loudenbeck said, you can deal with that as part of that future legislation itself rather than try to deal with it right now. I can see where it could be a presumptuous, viewed as being presumptuous by the legislature.
Would a simple answer be to allow all existing TIF districts at a certain date to have one time extension in that address? And then make that firm date?
I think when you look at the policy, I think the tech colleges, you're going to have, it's something that people remember. I think it was something that wasn't thought about. So I think that, I don't know if that's necessarily a deal breaker, but even when you look at, you know, anytime DOR changes the formula, you get an extension. It's kind of like anytime when you're creating the TID or the TIF and it's a 25-year commitment, I understand, I mean, you have to expect that, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen with the economy. And so, you know, and that's been the history of TIFs is we sort of are responsive to the different things that happen, you know, in economics and in government. But I think it's good that we brought it to this attention, but I don't think that this draft, I don't think that this is ready for introduction, because I think that these are kind of the questions that would come up in a committee session where, you know, we really have to think about, is this, I mean, do we need everything? Is this going to fix the situation? Because if it's is it the tech colleges? Is it the DOR formula? I mean, how many things are going to continue to happen? So are we always going to do these fixes to TIFs, or are we going to, you know, are we looking forward or looking backward? And I think that's something we have to kind of contemplate a little longer. Mr. Chair, do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. I hate to lay this on the table. I'm willing to go along with the tech college scenario as a narrow scope and then deal with everything else outside of this bill. And I'm willing to go that far.
So go the opposite way.
Yeah.
The tech college is
Do the tech college, but not. No.
Not the DOR reconciliation?
Well, I'm okay with the bill as is and include the tech college scenario, but I don't want to go any broader than that. I don't know if that makes sense. Any comments on that? Or?
I would agree with that, because I think now there's the institutional knowledge that if there are future changes, there's knowledge within the legislature, well, that's going to impact TIF, and that we can address it as we go forward.
And for Ledge Council, I know that if we are trying to wrap up today, we would just add it, and I mean, is there any way that we can sort of explain that we are using this as a starting point, or we just have to explain it as we go along?
Well, there are a couple ways to go about approaching this. First of all, after we are finished voting on the bills for recommendation to the Joint Ledge Council, Scott and I will prepare a report, a final report. And we have to summarize the meetings, we have to summarize the bill drafts, and then we have to include the bill drafts. And there's obviously a way for Scott and I to include some discussion about, you know, what you're talking about in that report. And then in the winter, when the report is presented to the Joint Legislative Council body, that's obviously something, too, that when you come before them, you can share those concerns as well, or those thoughts. So there are times where I think it could be discussed.
And just to remind everyone, the bills that are introduced, recommended by this committee, introduced by the Ledge Council, go through the full standing committee process. So presumably this would be a type of issue where it might be ripe for amendment during the normal standing committee process.
So I guess, Mr. Harrigan, if you want to make the amendment, or I'll make the amendment to include the Tech College scenario.
Is this the existing Tech College scenario?
Act 145.
Okay.
I'll move that.
Just to include that, reference that as well. So we got a motion to add the Act 145. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Got a second? Any discussion on the amendment? Okay, we'll take roll.
Senator Goodix.
Aye.
Representative Lauenbeck.
No.
Senator Jalk. Representative Kuglich.
No.
Representative Onstead. Representative Zepnik. Ms. Andrews. Mr. Harrigan.
Yes.
Ms. Kelly. Mr. Kovari. Mr. Lincoln. Mr. Rasmussen.
Yes.
Mr. Roykel. Mr. Sirk. Mr. Slavish. Mr. Thillman.
Aye.
Mr. Wilson. Mr. Wartman.
Carries what?
8-3.
So we have a bill as amended.
Can I just ask one question real quick before we actually go? One thing that the bill, I wasn't clear on how to address this, decrement situations. I didn't know on page 4, there's a comment just asking you if we should allow TIDs that are in a decrement situation to also be able to extend their life or amend their project plan. And I did not address this in the bill because I wasn't clear on how to do that and wanted to ask your thoughts if you wanted to move that way.
I think this is addressed in
It's addressed in the next bill, right? One of the
We also have another question in the bill draft. On page 7, there's items relating to how long generally the bill would allow the lifespan of a district to be extended. The P-draft right now doesn't specify the level of extension, so that's something that the committee would need to opine on, how many years a district should be able to extend.
Any discussion on that? Comments? Thoughts, ideas?
I think when I did some glances at what common extension periods were out there, 5 years had been used in other places. So if you don't have any thoughts, 5 years might be a good starting point for discussion purposes.
Representative?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
The concern would be, I mean, 5 is just a number we pulled out, but I think it would really should be is what is the effect with you know, if it's a minor, if it's something minor, do we want to really extend it 5 years? Whereas if it's major, is 5 years enough? I don't know. I mean, so obviously, maybe some of our municipalities would have an idea, but I got to believe the, like the tech school situation, that's going to be a minor, but the equalized value change from DR might be more. So I don't know. I mean, extending it 5 years is that's another 25%, you know, some lives.
So one suggestion could be that at the time the bill required that at the time that the request is made, that a financial projection be made by the community as to the number of years that would be needed to satisfy the existing obligations of the district, and that, in other words, you have a certain amount of debt or other project plan commitments that have been made that you need to satisfy, and you make a projection based upon those commitments as to how many additional years of revenue it would take to pay those off. That'd be the number of years that it would be allowed. And that way you're not locking it into a specific number, but you are locking it into a specific plan, their project plan.
My thoughts on Mr. Harrigan's comments are is that maybe that would be the case with a maximum of 5 years, because I think of the problem, you know, heartburn that I certainly have is overextending these. You know? So certainly, I can't imagine going beyond 5 years. And I would think that there would have to be some rationale to even extend it out as far as 5 years.
I think the draft kind of contemplates this idea about projecting what the loss attributable to the change is. If you look on page 7, there's language that specifies that along with its request for extension, a city may provide a joint review board with an independent audit that demonstrates that the district is unable to pay for its off its project costs under the previous time frames, and the joint review board may deny or approve the request if the request does not include the audit. Right now it says, and the board shall approve the request to extend the life if the request includes the audit. That language possibly could be tweaked to give the joint review board more discretion to consider the analysis that the city's making and decide if it's a reasonable you know, amount of time based on the losses attributable to the change.
So just to add to that too, if you remember the distressed and severely distressed TID legislation, it had more of a finite period of time. So if a municipality decided to declare TID distressed, it got an additional 10 years. And if the municipality determined it was severely distressed, then the TID could exist for up to 40 years. So there was this you know, an option, but there were finite time periods. I don't know if, you know, we want to have an analysis like what Scott was talking about and then saying 5 years or 10 years or whatever numbers you find, you know, acceptable. But in other places of the statutes, when we allow a TID to exist for a certain period of time, we do give them dates or years to exist.
Right.
The one question I have here, and this might go to one that's up here a little bit later on, that we've approved in the technical amendments, and that was when we were allowing that sunset provision to go out an additional 5 more years. Any change in DOR or in Act 145, and you throw yourself into decrement already, you have that vehicle to extend your life through the distressed and severely distressed. So my question, and this might be more to Mike and to the municipalities, are we creating an additional redundancy in the statute that might not be necessary? or...
Well, I think the one big difference is that when you declare a district distressed, you're precluded then from any further amendments or any additional flexibility relative to your project. Maybe you want to do that, I don't know. But it just seems to me that if this is really addressing something that was beyond the control of the community. This wasn't something that you know, the community was able to foresee in terms of the impact on their cash flows, and I don't think that they ought to be penalized in terms of the other provisions of the TIF law just because of the fact that the revenues went down because of an act by an entity outside their control. And so, I mean, if 5 years is the threshold of tolerance here, then you'd allow for up to 5 years or less based upon whatever the analysis would show. At least that's some meaningful relief, I think. In some cases, maybe enough to cover this nut relative to Act 145. Anyway.
So is that your suggestion, up to 5 years?
I think that's what I'm sensing would be acceptable. At least for most.
So we have an amendment that would state it be up to 5 years. Do we have a second on that?
Second.
Second. Any discussion? Okay, we'll take a roll.
Senator Vittix.
Aye.
Representative Lombeck.
No.
Senator Jow. Representative Kuglich.
No.
Representative Onstead.
Aye.
Representative Vicknick.
Aye.
Ms. Andrews.
Aye.
Mr. Harrigan.
Yes.
Ms. Kelly. Mr. Kavari. Mr. Lincoln. Mr. Rasmussen.
Aye.
Mr. Reichel. Mr. Sirk. Mr. Slavish. Mr. Thillman.
Aye.
Mr. Wilson. Mr. Wortman.
Yes.
Motion carries 93.
93. Okay, so we've got two amendments to 0043. This time I'd ask for a motion to move 0043 as amended. Mr. Wortman, a second? Second?
Second.
Discussion? No discussion? All right.
Do we have the year, Dylan? Do we need that? We're going to up to 5 years. Okay. All right.
Okay, take roll.
Senator Vittix.
Aye.
Representative Lombeck.
No.
Senator Jauch. Representative Kuglich.
No.
Representative Onstead.
Aye.
Representative Zepnik.
Aye.
Ms. Andrews. Mr. Harrigan.
Aye.
Ms. Kelly. Mr. Kavari. Mr. Lincoln. Mr. Rasmussen. Mr. Reichel, Mr. Sirk, Mr. Slavish, Mr. Thillman,
aye.
Mr. Wilson, Mr. Wortman.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Ten to two. Okay, we're going to move on to 0013 relating to increasing the amount that a political subdivision may add to its levy limit upon the dissolution of the tax incremental financing district. Can you go over that one, please?
So this, again, is the one where we're going to change the calculation for the levy limit adjustment from 50% to 85%. And we also talked about Brian Riekel's discussion with DOR. So I think there are really two components to this discussion. One question would be if you want to increase the 50% to 85%. And the second question is if you don't want to do that, do you want to just do what DOR had raised with Brian? I don't think that DOR was suggesting this change. I think they were just responding to Brian's questioning.
Can you go over that DOR request
sure.
one more time, what they were actually saying?
Sure. So basically, right now, the way that the equalization's valuation calculation is conducted, And has this effect of, well, it includes the TID values, and so when the TID is terminated, it can have this disparate impact on how, what their levy limit is increased to. So he, when he talked to DOI, his suggestion after Nate Ristow's answer, Brian Rico's suggestion would be to amend the statutes to have the levy limit calculation be based on the total equalized values less the TID values.
Okay. I think what we can do with this one is we could take these in two parts. If the first piece of the bill, and we can include the DOR change into both of these. If the first one doesn't pass, we can come back and revisit, and we'll just say that it's 50% plus the change, and then we can maybe have a discussion as to whether that's a technical or whether we want to have a standalone. Does everybody agree with that? Do we need to have that in some sort of formula?
Yeah, so I guess I would call the first one a motion to amend the 13 draft to incorporate the change to the equalized value computation.
Adding in what the ORs of course had stated.
Right. That's what, just adding in.
So in order to act on the bill, we would need to make a motion then to approve the DOR terminology. Somebody want to make that?
I'm confused in terms of the voting. Is this an amendment to 13?
This amendment to 13 as it stands. If we approve this, then we go to the bill.
Yeah.
And then we can either approve or disapprove the bill.
Right.
And then if it passes or fails, we have another.
So will we get a chance, if 13 goes down?
Yes, we will have a chance
to. We'll be able to come back and still consider
yes,
it. All right.
We will do that. Go ahead.
But if we bundle them together, I suppose there's a chance. I don't want to, I think the fix is really important.
So do I.
So I don't want to reduce its chances by attaching it to something that may not be viewed up front as a, like the technical becomes less important.
So what do you suggest?
Can we call it technical and put it with the others, or just make it, pull it out by, just create another one?
Do you want to just deal with the 85% first?
Let's just deal with the 85% first.
Okay,
without the amendment?
Right.
No, that's fine.
Let's do that.
Let's just, do we have any comments or questions on the original bill, 50 to 85? Okay. We need a motion to move that one. We need a motion to move that bill. Is there a motion to move on that bill? So moved. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a second. So it goes from 50 to 85. So we will take roll on that specific bill without any inclusions.
Okay. Senator Goodix?
No.
Representative Lautenbeck?
No.
Senator Jauch? Representative Kuglich?
No.
Representative Onstad?
No.
Representative Zepnik?
No.
Ms. Andrews? Mr. Harrigan?
Yes.
Ms. Kelly? Mr. Kavari? Mr. Lincoln? Mr. Rasmussen?
Yes.
Mr. Roykel? Mr. Sirk? Mr. Slavish? Mr. Thillman?
No.
Mr. Wortman?
Yes.
Okay, so that fails on a tie vote. 6-6.
My recommendation is, now that it failed on a tie vote, to include that language as a technical cleanup, or do we want to just tie it to the, how do you want to do that?
I guess.
Do we have, now we currently still have 50%. How do we get this tied to that?
I would recommend that we, I guess, we can amend the draft to remove the 85% change
and include
the DOR change.
Then
we can have another
vote
to include that in the technical.
Well, I don't know that we need to amend the bill. You can just give us a motion that.
I guess we can vote.
How about
if we just add the technical bill, the change to the equalized value calculation? Does that work?
Yes.
Do we have a motion on that? Or?
We'll take a motion on that.
What's the motion?
So, Our original motion on the technical bill was to combine 36, 35, 36, 40, 44, and 12 into a single technical bill. What I would recommend as a motion then would be to advance that technical bill consisting of 35, 36, 40, 44, and 12, plus the Mr. Reichel's changes to the use of equalized value in the levy limit calculation.
Make a motion for that. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a second. Any discussion? Scott, a second. I catch up.
Yes. Okay.
Take roll.
Senator Goodix.
Aye.
Representative Lombeck.
Aye.
Senator Jauch. Representative Coolidge.
Aye.
Representative Onstad.
Aye.
Representative Zepnik.
Aye.
Ms. Andrews. Mr. Harrigan.
Aye.
Ms. Kelly. Mr. Kavari. Mr. Lincoln. Mr. Rasmussen.
Aye.
Mr. Reichel. Mr. Serp. Mr. Slavish. Mr. Thillman.
Aye.
Mr. Wilson. Mr. Wortman.
Yes.
That passes 12-0.
Okay, we are on 0015 relating to redetermination of base value for blighted or rehabilitation tax incremental districts. I'll just give a brief rundown of that again, please.
I'll get there, yep. So as we discussed earlier this morning, WLC 15/1 is related to the existing decrement law somewhat, and it allows for certain types of districts, blighted districts or districts in need of rehabilitation or conservation work, to make multiple resolutions for a redetermination of a base value. If the district falls into a decrement, which is defined as a single year, in this case a single year, where the value, current value of the district is at least 10% less than the most prior value.
I would just state that I strongly support this bill. Do you have any comments or questions relating to the bill? Do you have a motion?
Just to be clear, this only affects redevelopment, blighted TIF districts, whereas the bill that you authored last session affected all of them. Just to be clear, in case there's an amendment that someone would like to make.
Any discussion on that? Want to make an amendment? It's up to you.
To entertain, I would make an amendment that we can make it available to all TIF districts, not just the redevelopment ones, in line with what this is meant to replace.
I'll second.
So we have a motion and a second on an amendment to include all TIF districts. Any discussion on that? Go ahead.
Can you explain how that would be helpful?
This was originally done for redevelopment purposes, but now you can apply this to an industrial or a mixed-use TIF if they happen to go into decrement situations. Originally it was set up for the teardown of buildings. I do know, like, the city of Milwaukee does not use redevelopment TIFs. They like to use mixed-use TIFs, and this would not avail them to the changes in the law. And I'm not sure in the Oshkosh example if that was a redevelopment TIF, I might get an answer to that, or if it was a something, another purpose district.
It's redevelopment.
Redevelopment district.
So they're okay.
Correct.
But if you have one that goes upside down, a lot of them that are not redevelopment will not be able to take advantage of this anymore.
So as a follow-up, under current law, what remedies would be available to the other types?
Distressed and severely distressed.
And that would mean coming to the legislature and asking for
So aren't there current mechanisms to redetermine the base value?
So 2 years in the under the current law, the 2 years look back, they can redetermine. It's not an automatic reset.
Right. So this would, another way of putting your amendment, would you be including in that amendment a repeal of the language from Act 183 in the most recent decrement bill? Practice, if this is available to every district as a one-year decrement with multiple options, the presence in the statutes of a two-year decrement, would that be superfluous?
Change it to affect all DIF districts.
So if we vote on the amendment and the amendment's upheld, is there further action needs to be taken prior to voting on the bill?
Well, this is again when we explained this morning how the benefit of using the mail ballot following this meeting. You know, if the committee adopted the amendment and recommended the bill as amended, what Melissa and I would do would be to redraft it with those instructions, and the committee would vote on that final package to make sure that we got it right in terms of the language we chose being acceptable to the committee to get that and convey that intent.
Any comments or questions, Representative?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Since we're kind of changing this completely, I need someone to kind of revisit this one for you and kind of give me an example of what we're talking about.
So a decrement arises when the current value of the TID falls below its most recent previous value, meaning that no increment's being generated, and that before an increment is being generated, property values have to rise enough to fill in that value, meaning that a portion of the value would be going first to the split amongst the tech colleges, the county, the school district, in the normal fashion before getting back to the point where it's generating an increment that goes solely to the TID expenses. The current law allows for a decrement situation after an amendment of that type. What the bill would do is allow the TID to reset the base so that immediately any gains would go to the TID increment rather than marginally going to the school district, the county, and the tech college for a period of time to backfill those that lost property value.
So the question is, the taxing authorities are getting...
The time value of money thing, they're sort of getting paid. Right now, under current law in this situation, the decrement would go to pay this. You'd fill in the school district's funds first,
right,
before filling back to the increment. Under the bill, presumably the TID would pay off its project costs sooner, therefore returning that amount to the underlying taxing jurisdictions later in the lifespan. The bill draft, I guess the other thing to remind people of, the bill draft came up, if I recall correctly, from committee discussions talking about the source of that decrement situation being sometimes generally relating to economic conditions versus in the blighted districts relating specifically to planned losses in value on account of demolition of building and that sort of thing.
So if we had representatives from the JRB on this board, what would their opinion be on this?
I don't know if I can speak for the other representatives per se, but I can tell you the practical impact of this typically is going to be that you've got to create an environment wherein that new development that we're trying to capture in the first place is going to happen. If, because of the fact that you've got a decrement in that district, they've got this big hurdle to clear, I might have a guy that's coming into my community that's willing to put up a building for worth $7 million, as an example. But if I've got a $4 million decrement to start with, the benefit that he's going to get is only going to be worth $3 million. It may not generate enough cash flow to be able to justify supporting that project going forward, and that project will never happen. It's just the same, and right now, because that value isn't there, the school district, the vocational district, and all the rest of them are not getting the benefit of those taxes. They aren't going to get any benefit of those taxes unless somebody comes in and builds something that backfills that hole. And if, because of the fact that you don't have enough to work with, you can't encourage them to come, nobody's going to get anything. So I don't know if that made sense in terms of that example, but it's a practical example and it's real, because that's the situation we had in the village of Shorewood.
So by resetting, would that speed up the process of paying off the TIF?
Well, yeah. And, so, and not only speed up the process, but we'll also, in some cases, we'll determine whether or not Project A goes ahead or not. Because if the hurdle is high enough that they can't clear it and generate enough due increment, you're not going to be able to generate the capital necessary to provide the TIF assistance to make it go.
I guess I just look at the original legislation, that there was a reason that there was a backfill, right? I mean, I assume.
I was going to point out in the original legislation, you mean my legislation?
No.
This one?
No, I'm looking at, originally the way its statute said is that it's supposed to backfill before it goes. So what was the intent of that? Was that to protect the taxing authorities, and that now we are going to circumvent that by resetting the base?
Right. The underlying principle with TIDLOP, excuse me, is that you're freezing the amount of money available to those underlying districts. Under the decrement bills, what you're doing is you're actually reducing that amount that was originally promised to the it is reduced because of the lack of development going on in that area. And the difference between the decrement bill and current law is that if you set the value at, say, 15, and it falls to 14, the current law says that you go back to 15. The move from 14 to 15 gets you, still is money that's going back to the tech colleges, back to the school district, back to the county. Under a decrement situation, you would reset the base at 14. And so if you think about moving from 15 to 14 to 16, under the current law, that gain of two is split. One of it's distributed normally, and one of it goes to TID expenses. If you reset under a decrement bill, if you reset at 14 and then move to 16, both two is the value that's going to the TID increment. That's, a policy question of whether it's good policy to return those school districts and tech colleges and counties to where they originally were as the TID was planned, or if it's reasonable for them to stay at 14, have their amount of money that's paid to them fixed at a lower rate than was originally anticipated for an entire lifespan of the TID, hoping that the TID will pay off more quickly because it went from 14 to 16, and perhaps that will spur quicker development and so on.
Well, you want to do?
We happen to be in a decrement situation right now. We're going through the process with the new statutes. We have a TIF district that's $13 million in decrement. And to the question about how the Joint Review Board feels about it, they recognize the city's basically been making up the difference on that $13 million. Those properties weren't in a TIF district, they wouldn't be collecting that difference to begin with. And also, if we don't reset the base, that district will live out its entire statutory life of 27 years and still be in the red at the end. If we reset the base, it will close in 10 years. And so they see that as a benefit, because even though they could collect a little bit of extra taxes right now by the city backfilling, if we can close out that district, it's better for them in the long run, and all of those properties come back into the regular levy. And also just the recognizing that if those properties weren't in a TIF district, they wouldn't be collecting those taxes to begin with. So.
I think the original intent of this one was when you had a planned redevelopment going forward, and you knew you were going to be tearing down a lot of structures or a lot of buildings and removing a lot of value in your community before you could build it up, that you're starting in a real negative position, and that project may not be able to go forward. There are some projects where you just need to clear the and make vacant land available to get development in, but because, and the exact answer to Ms. Andrews there, is that you know, the city is making up the whole value of making all the tax payments to all of the other entities, even though they're not collecting the taxes on that until they get back to even. So it's more or less resetting the base to allow everyone to get out of this deal quickly.
Representative? I hope this isn't too off track of a question, but I'm just kind of curious. And I get the whole but for and, you know, development that otherwise wouldn't be taxing and getting taxed anyway. Does it matter? Is it relevant at all that, especially given this most recent, you know, downturn in property values, that all the taxing districts are subject to lower, in almost, I would say, all cases, most cases around the state, lower assessed values on property? In other words, part of the rationalization for decrement, aside from all the other things we've talked about, is that, you know, in some ways it only makes sense when you realize that your levy is being set on, you know, lower property values. They don't keep them, municipalities don't keep them up there, even though, you know, just so that they can collect money. Does that make any sense, anybody? Or Scott, help me out, somebody.
Well, I think, are you talking about the relationship between the property values in the TID relative to the property values in the entire community? And
yeah, I'm just saying for those who have questions or concerns about, I sat through all these decrement arguments with you on the committee, and you know, we were very sympathetic, and we answered asked a lot of good questions of these communities that were asking for assistance. And I guess my intuitive thought has always been that if a city can lower its assessed values because of a downturn, wouldn't it make sense that you would want to see, in order for TIF districts to be solidified or, you know, reinforced, that you would set that base reset that base at that lower level? This is more of an academic kind of question. I prefaced by saying I hope I don't get this distracted. But somebody's got their hand up over there. I can't see your name. Harrigan, I'm sorry.
Well, thank you. I think, if I'm understanding your point, it is that the economic downturn has affected negatively these property values pretty much across the state, certainly in many of these tax increment districts. And that is driving some of the decrement that we're dealing with. That is true. And so some of it is because of redevelopment, where you're taking buildings down and putting up new ones. So the value of the building that you take down is part of the decrement problem, but the other part is economic, and that's what you were referring to, so yes. But I'd also like to go back to Ms. Andrews' point and just reinforce one aspect that she made, which I think she did a better job than I in explaining it. So thank you. But the point is that, and Representative Kulich, you said she froze these values as part of the base, and that's true, but we didn't I don't think the intent was to guarantee the tax for these underlying taxing jurisdictions any more than you would guarantee property taxes coming from any other area within the community at large. And that's what this in effect does, is that even if the property has lost its value or the building isn't there anymore, the TIF district is backfilling it and essentially paying to the underlying taxing jurisdictions dollars that they wouldn't get in the real world. And that doesn't make sense in my view. This just allows for us to recognize the reality of the actual value and then go from there going forward.
Mostly, I want to say I understand that you have Oshkosh. Can you explain, is that, that's a redevelopment site?
Correct.
Okay. But under the scenario of last year's Act 183, that's not workable?
That's what the city manager is telling me.
Okay.
There's aspects of that bill that made it unworkable.
Okay, and those are addressed in the draft? Because some of the things, like the two, is it the, in the 2 years is part of it?
This draft basically is a almost a mimic of what I had originally drafted that got butchered.
Right. But, and I tried to go back and follow through because my new senator will be joining you soon, and I know he had an amendment. So I tried to go back and do some research. But, I mean, the LRB had the 2 years in it. The 2 years wasn't part of an amendment. So I just want to make sure. But if it's on, I mean, I supported the bill before, and I want to support, you know, we want to make these situations, I mean, I know that, you know, that this was, the concept of this was widely supported. I just don't know if, again, when we look at the pros and cons, if applying this to all TIFs is now going to sort of...
The original bill applied to all TIFs originally.
Oh, and the amendment limited it to...
Yeah, there was some work done.
But you were... So, if you want, since you understand what is going on specifically...
I plan on supporting this.
Either way. No, I understand that. But, and you want the amendment?
Correct.
Okay, because you looked indifferent. Thank you.
Any other comments on the amendment? Go ahead, Rick.
I just want to ask one question. Are we... And I tried to ask this question before, so maybe I'm just way out there. By resetting it, are we not protecting the taxing jurisdictions because they are not getting the backfill that has been promised to them in the original statutes? So, and how are they then making up those dollars they're not getting? So by resetting this, are we taking tax dollars away from them? Because right now, the municipalities are backfilling.
Let me try and take a stab at this and jump in.
And maybe that's where I guess I'm at.
If you have a situation where you're in a decrement, and let's just say that you originally set your TIF up and you were at a $20 million value, you're now down to $16 million, okay? Something happened, economic or otherwise. It is doing absolutely no good for the other taxing jurisdictions to have that TIF in decrement because you have to dig out of a $4 million hole before you'll ever realize any increment. And if you know that the increments are what drives the TIT, okay, that's what you're building your TIT on is the increment. You're hoping that every year the value of your land, the buildings, mm-hmm. is all going to continue to grow. And sometimes you can capture other parcels to help that endeavor, but if you don't grow your increment, you're never going to go anywhere. And in the case that Ms. Andrews was saying is that they're at a point right now where they're never going to grow out of their decrement. So their TIF is going to close in the red. So the school district, the tech houses, nobody's going to gain anything. If you do a reset, you're resetting to the 16. That gives everybody an opportunity to go, now we can start moving. Developers become interested. A developer won't touch a property that's in decrement. They look at you, well, you're in decrement. You can't afford to give me sanitary. You can't afford to give me water. You can't afford to help with some of the infrastructure because you're in a decrement situation. You can't do blacktopping roads. So, you know, you're pretty well dead. So if you don't do the reset, if you don't get out of the decrement, you're never going to move anywhere. And that's why she was saying that, you know, if they got their decrement or they got their reset done, everybody's going to jump on board and close that TIF out in 10 years. Otherwise, it's going to go 27 years nowhere.
And that's the question is that I'm all for getting this thing out of the hole and go, but in that 10-year time, at the resetted dollars, are the taxing jurisdictions losing out that $4 million over 10 years?
They will, but they won't care because they'll get their money back over the next 10 years and then some. If you stay the way they are now, they're going to get their little slivers through the 27 years and they're out a whole bunch at the end because there's nothing there. There's no value there for them. And they've got a brown piece of property that means nothing. They want to win.
Important thing to remember about this particular draft is that this is a planned decrement situation for most of it. So the JRB is approving, if you look in here, included the TIF project plan resulting in JRB approval of the possibility of redetermination. So I mean that in your project plan, you're letting your JRB know that in the future, you're going to ask for a redetermination. And that's part of your project plan. I mean, I think that was one of the critical things, because you're planning properly that you're going to be taking off value, and they understand that.
Okay.
So we have an amendment out there, and we have a motion in the second, correct?
Yes.
So we're looking to take roll?
Yes. On the motion to amend 15-1 to apply to all types of TID districts, moved by Mr. Thillman, seconded by Mr. Harrigan. Senator Goodix.
Aye.
Representative Lauenbeck.
Aye.
Senator Jauch. Representative Kuglich.
Aye.
Representative Onstead.
Aye.
Representative Zepnik.
Aye.
Ms. Andrews. Mr. Harrigan.
Yes.
Ms. Kelly.
Aye.
Mr. Gavari. Mr. Lincoln. Mr. Rasmussen.
Aye.
Mr. Roykel. Mr. Sirk. Mr. Slavish. Mr. Thillman.
Aye.
Mr. Wilson. Mr. Wortman.
Yes.
Well, so the motion carries.
Okay, motion carries. So now we are up to draft 0015 as amended.
Yep.
Any discussion on the bill as amended? Otherwise, we'll take roll.
I'm going to carry the motions over.
Oh, yeah. We have a motion to approve that bill as amended.
Second.
Nonsense.
All right. Senator Goodix.
Aye.
Representative Lautenbeck. Senator Jauch, Representative Kuglich?
Aye.
Representative Onstead?
Aye.
Representative Zepnik?
Aye.
Ms. Andrews?
Aye.
Mr. Harrigan?
Aye.
Ms. Kelly? Mr. Kavari? Mr. Lincoln? Mr. Rasmussen?
Aye.
Mr. Roykel? Mr. Sirk? Mr. Slavish? Mr. Thillman?
Aye.
Mr. Wilson? Mr. Wortman?
Aye.
All right. Okay, we are on 0017 relating to designation of a tax incremental district. Oh, I skipped it. That's right. I'm sorry.
Let's not skip that one.
19. We're on 00. We're on 0019. We already had said previously that we are not going to consider 16. So we are on 19 relating to limits on TID creation as measured by total TID value. And that's it.
Yep. This is the straightforward move of the 12% rule to 15%.
Comments or questions? Go ahead.
In the correspondence that we received from from Kenosha County, it was on our desks, they did make one recommendation, and we have a little time left, so I will bring it up because it might be a good one. It was suggesting that if legislation is considered approving and increasing the 12% cap on TID value from 12 to 15%, it could require that the JRB approve any increase above the 12% amount and not permit the municipality to break a tie. Does anyone else on the committee think that might be helpful?
I'm just not so sure that automatically to increase, if the JRB, of course, would be involved in any vote to go above the 12%. Am I not correct there? I think that's... If you're already at 12% and you're going to approve a new project, that would be
right.
That would be contingent upon the JRB vote.
Correct. They would be involved in that. If to the extent you're talking about creating a new district, they would be involved in the creation of that district.
Okay. So I thought that was already kind of. I thought that that's the way it was. Now the question in terms of a municipality breaking a tie, is it currently language? I'm not sure. If there was a tie, whether or not a municipality can break that tie.
Well, you wouldn't be likely to have a tie on the Joint Review Board, right? It's an odd number of people.
Yeah, I didn't see anything. I mean, there are places in the statutes where we do specify things like that, but as far as the JRB vote is concerned, no, we do not have that language.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I took this to mean that they were not going to allow the municipality to vote on the creation to exceed 12%, so that if it was 2-2, it failed.
That's what
but... I don't know why you would treat this any differently than another right. TIF district.
Go ahead. Excuse me, I didn't understand what you just said. That somehow the municipality would not be...
No, I'm taking that this recommendation that the city of Kenosha is putting here is not allowing the city right. basically to vote on the creation of a TIF, and that a 2-2 vote would be a fail on the creation. I'm not really in favor right. of that.
Well, why would they treat this right. situation any different than any other TID creation?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't either.
I think the rationale between, I mean, I think they dropped it off for us as a, mm-hmm. I mean, usually now they have to come to the legislature, and we usually ensure that they're kind of all united and that everyone, if they want to, if there's some special circumstance going on, and I think that gives all parties an option. I mean, I think in one of these bills they had unanimous JRB approval was required. So I think it's just to make sure that, and we've added a lot to the accountability in the JRB process, which was also in their document. So I think that that may help. I just wanted to bring up that, I mean, as we look at this increase, and we already took the plus one off the table, but maybe there's just to make sure that we at least talked about it.
Well, one could deduct that if you ever got into that kind of a situation in creating a TID, we'd probably go back to the drawing board and try and figure out what we did wrong to get everybody on board. I mean, that'd be my assumption.
Which is probably what they're trying to make sure happens, that it's not like they're trying to kill it, they're just trying to make sure that it's not just, oh, well, we only need 3 votes, and if the county's not on board, they're not on board. I don't know, because they're not my...
Right.
I'm not familiar with the ins and outs.
Representative Rossid?
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I had no discussion with the author of the letter, prior to this, and this morning was the first time that I had the opportunity to see it, but the one point, the first question I had, I thought that it, and thought correctly, that it would require JRB approval. And it just seems to me that if we're going to 12 to 15%, that, the normal process probably makes some sense.
And you're representing that area, so you're fine?
I'm fine with the regular procedure.
And we did discuss it.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions?
Just for clarification, are we saying that it needs to be Joint Review Board approval to go beyond the 12%, or are we setting it at 15%?
Right, the limit would be, under the bill, the limit would be 15%.
So if we're at 13%, we can go ahead and create another TIF district.
Right, and the point that Representative Onstead made is that in the creation of that district, the Joint Review Board would be involved
right.
in the approval because
right.
it followed the normal process.
I thought there was a, you're limited to 12%, and then if you wanted to go to 15, you would have to get approval.
No.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
Comments or questions?
Yep.
All right. I would move to approve. You have a second? Hal?
I'll second. Yep.
Further discussion? Otherwise, we're going to vote. Okay, take roll.
Senator Dix.
Aye.
Representative Lombeck.
Aye.
Senator Jalk. Representative Kruglich.
Aye.
Representative Onstead.
Aye.
Representative Zepnik.
Aye.
Ms. Andrews. Mr. Harrigan.
Aye.
Ms. Kelly. Mr. Gavari. Mr. Lincoln. Mr. Rasmussen.
Aye.
Mr. Roykel. Mr. Sirk. Mr. Slavish. Mr. Thillman.
Aye.
Mr. Wilson. Mr. Wortman.
Aye.
4-0.
Okay, last bill. 0017, relating to the designation of a tax increment district as distressed or similarly distressed districts. This is the extending of the sunset?
Correct. This is the extension of the sunset of the distressed and severely distressed TID law from October 1st, 2015 to October 1st, 2020.
Any discussion on this? We have a motion to move. We have a second?
I'll second.
We've got a second. Discussion? What we're basically doing is taking the current sunset and moving it from 15 to 20. Okay, we'll take roll.
Senator Goodix.
Aye.
Representative Lombeck.
Aye.
Senator Jalk. Representative Kuglitsch?
Aye.
Representative Onstead?
Aye.
Representative Zepnik?
Aye.
Ms. Andrews? Mr. Harrigan?
Aye.
Ms. Kelly? Mr. Kavari? Mr. Lincoln? Mr. Rasmussen?
Aye.
Mr. Reichel? Mr. Sirk? Mr. Slavish? Mr. Thillman?
Aye.
Mr. Wilson? Mr. Wortman?
Okay, good. Well, here's my take on where we're going to be heading from here. We've made some changes, some amendments. We've combined some bills. We've created a technical cleanup package. So what Ledge Council, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't want to speak for you, but I'll try. We will be taking and redoing all of those bill drafts, get everything cleaned up, capturing all of the discussions we had today. And we will then at some point, probably December.
Probably.
We'll be sending out that packet. And there will also be a electronic voting, email vote. And that
email
will,
ballot.
Email ballot. And that will allow us to vote and finite what we've accomplished here, whether you're up or down on the bill. We will then take that information, and based on that, I'll get together with the legislators, and we'll kind of take a look at what we want to come out with running on the shoot, what we maybe want to hold back on a little bit. We'll kind of get a flavor for what we think will work the best. Some of these bills will make committee. Some of these bills may not make committee. It's going to be up to the chairs of the committee and how they're feeling about the bills themselves. It's going to be up to us to, once we get through the joint review board, to get these things moving on a track. We will probably at some time be looking to have some of you, or if you're able to maybe testify at some of the committee meetings. That will be part of the process as well. Once we get done with the voting electronically, you're still members of the committee that created these bills, so we'll keep you informed as we go through the process. This 0015 is coming up for committee meeting on this date. If there's any of you are able to come, let us know. We can get you in to testify. That would be great. Anything else, Joint? Our Ledge Council wants to jump in?
Yeah, just so you know, typically what we've tried to do up until this point has been to give you documents with a week's notice. One thing I'll just make sure you guys are aware of is sometimes the legislature they'll try and move quickly on things, and we might not know that a bill is going to receive a hearing until maybe a day or two before the hearing. But we will try and make sure you get notification as soon as possible. If there is a hearing, at this point, this will be the last meeting where we will be able to reimburse you for travel expenditures. So if you do come, we hope you do, we just make sure you know that we no longer will be able to provide funding for that. But we will also make sure that you get mailings and any updates as to what goes on with the legislature at this point.
I also want to let you know that I'm pretty proud of what we got accomplished here. I mean, this was an excellent group of people who had a very diverse background, a lot of technical knowledge. I think that Ledge Council did a fantastic job, superior job, of keeping us organized and on track. I'm very proud of what Scott and Melissa accomplished here, so thank you two very much for all your hard work and your continued hard work. I also want to say that, moving forward here, I've heard a lot of horror stories that occurred with some of these studies groups. And, when I decided to take this on as a chair, I thought, I'm either going to make or break this thing, so... But I think that the content in which we discussed things and how we kept our composure and had some fruitful discussion, I tell you, I'm very proud of how you guys handled yourselves and how you presented your information. I'm very proud of the speakers that we had and all the contributions they made to keep us informed of what's actually happening out there. I think that this study group was a success, and I think that we'll be proud of some of the legislation that we do get accomplished from this group. So my heartfelt thank you goes out to all of you. We probably will not meet again in person, but we will keep in touch via email. So again, you have my kudos, and thank you for serving the state of Wisconsin, and thank you for helping us in this endeavor. So I want to give you guys a round of applause. Thank you.
You can indulge me, Mr. Chair. Oh, I'm sorry, Cook.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say you could almost argue we made some significant incremental value. I'm here.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to recognize the job that you and the Vice Chair have done for this committee, and I'll tell you what, I think when we first went around the roundtable, this was like just going to be an exercise to kind of learn what TIF's all about, and I probably learned more about TIFs than I may ever need, but I just want to say that you and the Vice Chair have done a great job, and I really respect and have learned a lot by everybody on this committee, and I'm proud to stand next to the professor here, or sit next to the professor, Mr. Harrigan. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments before we take our final adjournment? Okay. Thanks again, everybody. Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second? We're adjourned.